book of Genesis, chapter number 2. And the Bible said in verse number 1, "So thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended His work which He had made, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made. God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it He'd rested from all His work which God had created and made. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth. There was not a man to till the ground. There went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground." Isn't that something? It never rained. God said He'd sent a mist up out of the earth. Verse 7, where I want to preach from this morning. The Bible said, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Verse 8, "The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there He put the man whom He had formed." You may be seated this morning. Thank you for standing. I'm interested in this phrase, that He planted a garden eastward in Eden. And I want to preach on this thought this morning, the garden life. The garden life. We'll all find ourselves living in a place that God has prepared. You'll notice that God said that He set aside the Sabbath day. He set that aside, and the Bible said that He sanctified it, or He set it apart. There is a day that is set aside that is holy unto the Lord. Now, we are not Seventh-day Adventists. We're Baptists. And therefore, we believe that Sunday is the day that's set aside. Why is that? Well, when Christ rose from the dead, and I'm going to tell you that He got up on that Sunday morning, and that Sunday night, the disciples ascended into the upper room, and there they started that Sunday night worship service. And therefore, we're not under the law. We're under the dispensation of grace. Thank God for that. There is a day that God has set aside and established that we are to rest, and we are to observe this day as a day of the Lord. Be careful. This world will get you so busy, this day will become like any other day. Be careful. Your priorities will get out of order, and you'll find yourselves living contrary to the Word of God. He said even on the seventh day that everything ought to rest. He said even your donkeys and your cows, that everything, give them rest on the seventh day. And I want to say this, a day of rest is very important in your life and in my life. It ought to be a day that we come out of the mold of this society, of this world, and we ought to be a majoring on the major things of this life. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ, who hung on an old rugged cross. And we ought to set this day as Sunday aside, a day of rest and a day of reverence. We ought to reverence the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Church time is Sunday. And we ought to know that every Sunday is the time to come to the house of the Lord. But now I'm interested over here in this garden life. The Bible said that the Lord had made a garden, and God planted this garden, and He planted eastward in Eden. Now notice, Eden must have been a big place, for there the Bible would tell us there would be a north and a south and an east and a west. And here God gave Adam a little spot over in the corner, if you please, and He called it a garden. I want to ask you today, where is your garden? Where is your place in the spot of this old world that God has put you in? I like what He said here about Adam. It was not by chance. But the Bible said in verse number 8, "And there He put the man." Now, I'm going to tell you, God knows what He's doing. There are no accidents in the God that I serve and preach about. The God that I preach about is a sovereign God. And so God has made a specific place and He's put you and I in it. I mean, how could anybody else but God get me to Bowden, Georgia, from a place called Murfreesboro, Tennessee? Just the grace of God. It was not by accident. And I tell you, it really was not by choice, but it was by divine providence that I would meet a little girl in Panama City Beach, Florida. She'd steal my heart away. I'd move down to Bowden, Georgia, and everybody else would think I was crazy. Left everybody and everything I ever knew at 18 years ago and come and started a new life. But may I tell you, there's nothing accidental about this process. In God's divine providence, He put me in a garden down in Bowden, Georgia. This morning, I don't know where you live, but I can tell you this, God has placed you there for a reason and for a purpose. You just not happened upon the spot of ground of where you're living and where you're working. God has an order and God is still on the throne. Can I tell you this morning, the White House is not in charge and the governor's mansion's not calling the shots and the mayor of this city don't have everything in its order, but there's a sovereign God in heaven that's still on His throne that's ruling and reigning in the way that He sees fit. And His ways are not our ways. This morning, this garden life of this man, I want you to notice the breath of the garden. The breath of the garden. You'll see that He breathed the breath of life into man. The Bible said in verse 7, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. So we see the breath of the garden. He created man. Can I tell you that evolution is out of hell this morning? That God created us, the Bible said, in His likeness and in His image. Of whose image? The Bible says that He created us in their likeness or our likeness. The Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost have always been together. They all three are one. And so we see here the breath of the garden. God said, watch this, that He would form man. And look what He says. He says in verse number 7, He formed man of the dust of the ground. Now some of you think that He formed you out of the dust of heaven, but He didn't. The dust of the ground. Sound like to me we pretty low down to me. Sound like to me we have no room for pride and we have no room for pat ourselves on the back of what we've accomplished and of what we've done. Because I will remind you, we are just clay this morning. I noticed this reading my Bible. And it's amazing. Look what He said in verse 7. The Lord God formed man, here's a word, of the dust of the ground. And now look right over there on the next page in verse 19. And look what He says. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air. Well, sound like to me that we just a notch barely above an animal. That's why we got this beast-like nature in us. Ain't that amazing? Amen. I mean, the animals was formed out of the ground, and we was formed out of just the skim off the top of it, the dust. So you better watch that obese-like nature you got. You better not trust that monster that lives in this house. He'll get you in a world of trouble this morning. That's why people's never realize. They think, well, once you get saved, you won't do them things some more. That's right. You won't have a lifestyle, but you're still out to do some of them things. This is the real world where I'm preaching about this morning. We was formed out of the dust of the ground. Sound like to me we ain't got much to crow about. And so we see the breath of the garden, the forming of the man, and then second, the fashioning of the man. The Bible said he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Now, God reached down. He formed man out of the dust of the ground and there laid a body. And God said, that body does not have life, so I'm going to breathe on this body. So God walks up in the nostrils of this clay vessel and breathes. Somebody asked the sculptor and said, boy, you sure are good. Said, you took this block of marble and we've had this great awards day and it's no sculptor like this sculptor. And we set this day aside and you took this big block of marble or granite and you've made this statue. And boy, we pinned a ribbon on this great sculpture. But a little man stood up in the back, but he said, sir, it's something you're missing. Said, he's not God, because let me see him breathe into that thing and give him life. Can I tell you this morning, it takes God to put the life in man. And there are no accidents with God. God has breathed the breath of life into every one of us. You can't give the paramedics credit. You can't give life support credit. The God of heaven keeps the breath in us. And I'm telling you this morning, we see the breath of this guard and the form and the fashion. But notice this future. The Bible said it changes. And man became a living soul. Can I tell you today that we all have a soul in this clay body, that when God breathes the breath of life into us, we become a living soul. I want to say this, the soul lives, but the spirit makes alive. The Bible teaches about the spirit, the soul, and the body. You see, every man has a soul. Every man. I don't care if he's black, white, red, or yellow. Every person, man, woman, male, female, has a soul. And this soul is going to step out into an eternity and meet God. It's amazing to me that people think they're just going to live forever and there's no payday someday. You say, preacher, now it is 2:06, and are you really one of them old-time hellfire and brimstone preachers? I sure am. I believe there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And this Bible said when he breathed the breath of life in us, we become a living soul and we're all going to live someplace. And I'm going to tell you, my Bible teaches me I don't have to die to find out where I'm going. The Bible said I can know beforehand where I'm headed. He said, I write these things that you may know that you have eternal. I am so glad I know that I have eternal life this morning. Now, the breath of this garden, the form and the fashion, but the future. In Romans 14 and verse number 7, and I guess if you don't believe the Bible, then you won't believe this no way. But it don't really matter to me. I'm still going to read it. In the book of Romans chapter number 14 and verse number 7, the Bible said, for none of us liveth to himself. No man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die in the Lord. And whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For this end Christ both died and rose. What do you mean to this end? Well, he knew we was all going to die. So that's why he died and rose again and revived. I want to tell you something. The Christ I preach about, he's alive this morning. That he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why do you set at naught your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. Verse 12 is where I'm headed, the future. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. I want to tell you this morning, we all are going to stand before God as individuals. And we're going to give an account of what we've done in this life, whether it's been good or it's been bad. You can't work your way into heaven this morning. You must be forgiven by the blood of an old rugged cross. You must be forgiven, born again by the grace of God, is what Jesus said. But here in this text, in this garden life, notice this breath of the garden. God comes by and He spoke into man, He breathed into man, and he became a living soul. I want to ask you, where are you headed this morning? I want to ask you, have you ever been born again by the grace of God? Because we're going to stand before the Lord one of these days. And you're going to stand there either with Christ or you're going to stand there by yourself. And I'm going to tell you, Jesus will never let you down this morning. Amen. This old world will let you down. Your religion will let you down. But Christ will never let you down. We see the breath of the garden. Secondly, heard it along. Notice the beauties of the garden. God done a great job when he created this old world. We've messed it up. He didn't. The beauties of the garden. Look in verse number 8 of Genesis 2, back of that text. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there He put the man whom He had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that's pleasant to the sight. Boy, it's a blessing to get away and see what God's made. I love the woods and rocks and water. I'm a country boy by nature. I like that kind of stuff. I'm not too much on these high-rise buildings. That don't do much for me. I love getting out yonder in the country where you can sort of look around and see what God has done. You know, you go to town, you see what man's done. But you get out yonder here on the edge of Alabama someplace, and you can see what God's done. But we see the beauties of the garden, the beauties of life. Notice what He said. He said, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that's pleasant to the sight. Well, we take our eyes for granted, don't we? The beauties of the garden. God has given us eyes for a reason. We ought to behold the beauty in everything. A lot of us just look at the negatives of everything. But it would do us good to see the bright points of everything. I believe it's a little bit of good in everything. Boy, He said it was pleasant to the sight, the beauties of the garden, beauties of light. Secondly, the beauties of life. You know what we need to do? We need to slow down and start enjoying life. What happened to the days when people just sat around on a porch and care about one another and cry and talk one another and pray with one another and eat around a table with one another? Boy, we've got into such a fast-paced society. It's unbelievable. But here in the beauties of the garden, God has given us some things to enjoy, and we ought to slow down and go to enjoying some of it. You'd be surprised what it'd do for you if you'd take a day off and quit chasing this ghost by its tail and go and rest a few days and get away with your family and enjoy what God's done. Get out of this corporate world that you're running and chasing. Boy, I tell you, I thank God for the beauties that He's given us. I mean, I just love going out in a fishing boat, and I love catch fish, but if fish ain't biting, it's just a blessing just to get out there and not hear a phone ringing. God has created beauties in the garden, and if we want to take advantage of it, we can. You say, well, life has given me nothing but lemons. Well, you ought to make you some lemonade. I realize I got troubles and problems like everybody else. And if you don't have no problems, come by and see me. I can give you a bucket full after the service. But I'm telling you, there's a God in heaven that created the beauties of this place that we can look around and enjoy and say, thank you, Lord, for putting me here to be a blessing in this day and this hour. Everything ain't wind pudding and gravel gravy. Everything ain't bad. Turn around and tell your neighbor everything ain't bad. It's getting bad, but everything ain't bad. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about the beauties of the garden, the beauties of light, the beauties of the land, the beauties of life. The Bible said in the book of Psalms, chapter number 118 and verse 24, Psalms 118, and verse 24, he says something like this. The Bible reads, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, what are you talking about? The beauties of the garden. You ought to just look around about and see what God has done in your life and where He's put you for a reason. A lot of you, you just look at the negatives all the time. That's all you see is negative, 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 negative. Look around, smile sometime. It'd help your face. It'd help folks that live with you if you'd smile a little bit. The breath of the garden, the beauties of the garden. Verse 15, watch this. The business of the garden. What kind of business? Well, there was some business that Adam was to take care of. And that's where I want to really preach from this morning. Verse 15, and the Lord God took the man, put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. I looked up that word dress. What it means to till. Now, somebody sort of said something that ain't right. When Adam fell, then we all had to start to work. That ain't right. God was the first employer. Don't write that down in your Bible. A lot of you waiting, said the boy, hard to wait till I retire, retire, retire. It's not the design of the Bible. Work will keep you out of trouble. Work will keep you a sound mind. I believe with all my heart an idle mind is the devil's workshop. The business of the garden. He's the first employer in Romans 12 and verse number 11. Notice what the Bible said. Romans 12. Verse number 11. Oh, my 401k, I'm not going to be able to retire when I'm 55. Really wasn't intended to. Look what it says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit and serving the Lord. You know, the folks we work for, we ought to be the best employees they've got. When the boss is away, we ought to be working harder. I'm going to tell you, we're going to give an account one of these days. Now, preacher, I want to ask you, where are you going with all this? Is this a business seminar? No. I'm just telling you, in the business of the garden, God has placed us here to work. And the Bible says, if you don't work, guess what? You don't eat. You say, well, I need an incentive to get out of bed in the morning and go to work. I'll give you one. It's called hunger. Bible said, you don't work, you don't eat. That's what's wrong with our country now, the welfare line. Folks sitting up on the front porch all day, drinking their Budweiser, smoking their Marlboros on your tax money and my tax money. And they healthy as a horse. Business of the garden. He put us here to work. A specific task. Then He put us here to watch. Look what He said. He put Him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. I want to ask you this morning as we wind down. I want to ask you this very important question. Not only are you working where God's put you, but are you watching where God's put you? He said, He put you there to watch it, to keep it. It's not, men, it's not your wife's responsibility to keep up your garden. It's your responsibility. Well, you said to work, to watch. What am I to watch? You better watch the devil. He's got no respecter of a garden. You'll notice right over here, as soon as this marriage in the garden happened, God sent him a wife. They got married. And the devil come walking right in. Can I tell you this morning, the devil has no respect about your garden. Don't think for one minute just because you go to church every Sunday that he's going to respect your garden. He's going to do everything he can do to tear up your garden. You know, it takes work keeping up a garden. You ever seen anybody plant something and just walk off and leave it, weeds to take it up? It takes work for a garden. You, You've got to work on your garden. You've got to work at where God's put you in. How much work are you doing on your garden? Oh, we must watch it. He's a wise devil this morning. Look what the Bible said about him in Genesis 3 and verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Here it is. He said, the woman, God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. There's that word. The serpent was more subtle. That means deceptive. Our business of the garden is to watch the devil. That is, watch the devil. The devil would love to tear up your home this morning. God's put you in your garden, and you're to protect your garden. You've got to put a fence around it. If not, things will get over there in it, and it'll destroy stuff. You say, well, if I'm to watch the devil, what else am I to watch? Well, you better watch about the dangers. There's a lot of dangers that have come around you raising a family that you better keep watch on this morning. You better watch out about it. And then you better watch the discord. Some of you daddies and husband and wives fussing and fighting, you better watch that kind of business. The devil will get in your garden. You let that fence down. Now, me and my wife have not always agreed on every issue and every item. But I'm going to tell you what. She's still my wife and I love her, and we've got it sorted out. And if you're not careful, this big division will come in your garden, and then before long, the devil's done got victory down at where you live at. Boy, the garden's a very important place. A garden's a place that God has put us at, and we have responsibilities in this garden. I'm to watch. He said, not only are you to come in there and to dress it, but I want you to keep it. And I'm going to tell you, Daddy, I'm going to be real bold. What I'm going to say, if you don't keep up your garden, the devil will. You got to stand your ground. You better watch. I've noticed these things, seedlings. You ever notice how seeds start coming up in a place, and you look around, man, not one of them things has come up, but now the yard's full. You know, I had a company come and sprayed my yard, and it was too expensive, so I backed off the bill. You know what it was doing? It was killing onions. About 3 years ago, I had one or two, but now I got a crop. I mean, them things have multiplied. Daddies, did you know down at our house where we live at, if you're not careful, you'll let one little old thing start going, and before long, it'll be this growth slam up around you. You can't let your garden go. You got to watch out about where God has put you. Do you realize God's put you there for a purpose of where you are? And not only are you to work, but you're to watch. You better keep your garden. Keep it, the business. It's a specific thing. I want to tell you this. He's a wise devil this morning. And he'll get in the least little old place that you leave open that you never thought he'd got in there, but he'll get in right there. The least little place. You better keep your eyes on your garden. God's put you there for a reason. The business of the garden. And then look in verse 16, the boundaries of the garden. God has put boundaries for every one of us. And if you get out of them boundaries, you're going to have to pay for it. He said in Genesis chapter number 16, verse number 16, Genesis 2, verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. The boundaries of the garden. I want to say that we still have boundaries of morals. Our country's out of bounds in morals. Sin is still sin in the eyes of the Lord.
And God has put man boundaries down that we do not cross. And if you cross these boundaries, you're going to pay the consequences. That's spiritually, that's morally, that's materially. God always has boundaries. Look what he said. And he said, he took the man, put him in it, and then he commanded the man, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree, one thing you can't do. He said, because the day you do it, you're going to die. And you know what? A lot of people think that God's just fooling around, but he's not. God means biz. He told Adam, he said, if you take of that, you're going to die. And look what the Bible said in Genesis 5 and 5. Adam found out that God's truth was true. He said, in all the days that Adam lived was 930 years, and look, he died. What happened? He got out of the boundaries of God. He took of the tree of knowledge. He partook of the tree that God forbid him to do, and he died. And I'm going to tell you this morning, I don't know who the word is speaking to. Maybe it's for everybody in the house, but I'm going to tell you this today. If you get out of bounds with God, you're going to die, not only physically, you're going to die spiritually. Sin always brings death. Now, you've heard he lived as old as Methuselah. Well, he even died. Verse 27, the days of Methuselah, he was 969 years old. And look, he died. We're all headed there this morning. But we have the boundaries that we must live by. Boundaries of morals, and then we have boundaries of marriage. I don't care what anybody says, shacking up is still shacking up. We have boundaries in our marriage that we do not cross. If you go across it, you're going to get in trouble. If you play with fire, you're going to get burned. I don't care who you are. You're not that strong. We must respect what God has given us and showed us about these boundaries. Boundaries of the marriage. Now, watch this, and I'm done. The garden life. We've seen the breath of the garden, the beauties of the garden, the business of the garden, these boundaries of the garden. God has set boundaries that we cannot cross. And if we go across, we're going to get in trouble. But then lastly, the bride in the garden. And I hope God will let me deal with this some next week. But look, if you would, in verse number 18. If you men want a bride, this is the way to do it. You don't go to a nightclub hunting you a wife. If you go there, then you're going to get you a nightclub woman. Nobody throwed a songbook yet. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I'll make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast. Verse 21, Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. You know what you young men ought to do? You ought to go to sleep. You ought to quit hunting it under every bush for the woman you're going to marry. Just wait and let God send her to you. And you ladies, you know what you ought to do? Just be still and let God do it. Now look what happened. The bride of the garden. He said, it's not good that man should be alone. I appreciate the Lord about my wife. What about you fellas? Verse 23, look what it said. Adam said, this is now a bone of my bones. First marriage in the Bible. Flesh of my flesh, she shall be called woman because she is taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, shall cleave to his wife. They shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Michelle, I just want you to come play something this morning. I want to ask a question. Real unusual service today, but I want to ask a question. This bride in the garden. In Ephesians 5 and verse 21, it was something that was brought to my mind last week. And I want to read this to you. He
said, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. He said, wives, submit yourselves, your own husbands, as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be their own husbands and everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Listen to this. Put on, therefore, kindness, humbleness of mind, and meekness and long-suffering. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, also do ye. That's what I want to close with. We're to love our wives as Christ loved the church. What a statement. What a statement. Well, preacher, I want to ask you something. Am I to forgive her? Well, let me ask this. As Christ forgave you? You know, probably them little things that's running you crazy ain't all that important. But you know why they're running you crazy? Because you're so self-centered. Boy, if we would love our wives, this bride of the garden, as Christ loved the church. I wonder if he looked over some things that you've done this week. I wonder if he is as critical about us as we are about our wives. As Christ loved the church, you know, I've been married over 25 years. But Gerald, I'm not so sure that I've fulfilled that.